All right, Sunday morning, 1:28:24. We're going to talk about the leaven of the kingdom. You know, we hear a lot about the leaven of the enemy, how he's nearly leveled the whole earth with his leaven, you know. But we're going to talk about the kingdom, the leaven of the kingdom. There's not just the devil's leaven. The leaven's a whole lump. The kingdom of God is supposed to level the whole lump. All right, we're going to get several scriptures this morning, so... First one's Matthew 13. Most of the time we look at this as a negative thing, but it's not a negative. It is negative and it is positive. Positive in the kingdom of God and negative in the kingdom of darkness. All right, 13:33. And another parable he spake, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Think about that. When we begin to infiltrate with the kingdom, just a little bit will level. All right, now go to chapter 16 of Matthew. 16, verse 6. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? See, here's that natural connotation on everything that tends to be the fault of most Christians. I'm sorry, it is just a fact. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? Because I can, you know, I multiplied the loaves and fishes. That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right. Now go to Mark chapter 8. See, it's not about always thinking about your needs. Jesus said, I multiplied. Fed 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. What's dangerous is that antichrist doctrine, that infiltration that people believe. All right, Mark 8:15. And he charged them, saying, well, here we do 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he saith to them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? He didn't just meet their need. There was abundance after left over. 12 baskets full. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said 7. He said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? People fall all over this. They don't understand. Just like what I began with. They think that they're operating in the kingdom of God whenever they wake up every morning and they got a pain here and they call you wanting you to pray. You want to say, get on your face. Pray in tongues yourself. Go into your closet. Pray to your Father. He'll see you in secret. He'll reward you openly. No, but I ain't got time to do that. I got to watch Hallmark movies all day, you know? But you got time to pray. Really? That's what you want to do. This is the church. I'm sorry. All right. God help us. Luke 12. That's what I'm talking about. We got everything we need. Every one of us are supplied inside with God's perfect plan for us, His perfect answer for every situation that we will ever face. If we will take the time to look for that pearl that's buried. The kingdom of God is like a field, you know? Find that pearl of great price. It's there if you're of a mind to dig for it. All right, Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when there was gathered together a numberable multitude of people, and so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Kind of sounds like anything that's outside of God's spectrum for us is not going to be hidden anymore. It's going to be broadcasted. What these evil people are done and the evil one has done inside of people to do is not going to be hidden. I don't want to be in that camp, do you? All right, 13:21. Let's do 20 here. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That is our focus. That's what the Lord is saying from the prophet's corner to now this teaching. He is saying, I've given you a commission. I want you to focus on that commission. Who cares what the devil does? Ignore him, stay on point, keep your eyes on the target, and move forward. You've got the Holy Ghost in you to help you with whatever you need to have help with. If you go to the Holy Ghost and he tells you, well, you did something that you shouldn't have done, then you can correct it. But don't let the devil just sit and condemn you and beat you up. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's very immature, do you understand? Y'all know better. I know y'all know better. Don't let him sit there and tell you, well, you didn't do this right or you didn't do that right. Who are you? You're not the judge. God's the righteous judge. Has the Father said anything? No. And when he does, it's easy to receive. He's like a father to his child. It's not a whipping and I missed it again. Bless God, just hit them again. Do we really know our Father? No, we can't view him that way. He's not that way. He is not, like I said yesterday, he is not a hard taskmaster. I know this, the devil will run you in the ground and he'll put so many hard rules and regulations on you that you'll never be able to do it. You just might as well give up right now if that's who you're going to listen to. No, what the Holy Spirit brings is peaceable, loving, easy to be received. It builds you up. It makes you feel good inside, even if you missed it. Thank you, Lord, that you've told me that. I hope y'all get this today. Let yourself off the hook. So you missed it. Okay, we've all missed it. If you've said, Lord, forgive me, And you bring it back up. He says, punches Jesus. What are they talking about? He don't know you've ever done anything wrong. You ever sit and pray in the spirit and the devil tries to bring, well, you did this in, you did this, that. I go, oh, shut up. I go, forgiven, forgiven. He don't know that I've done anything wrong. He, you know what? That's what his blood was all about. Do you believe it? If you do, then lighten up. Lighten up. He wants us to, yeah, we go through things and it's not fun, but the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? God is for us. If he be for us, he can be against us. The devil just loves to harass. You know what I'm saying? It's like a bully at school. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians 5. I hope this helps somebody today, because Lord knows. The Lord knows the trouble we've seen. But it's for the kingdom of God's sake. It's a worthy endeavor. Man, I tell you what, in the life to come, we're going to have benefits like we never thought. You think you have benefits now? You ain't got nothing now compared to what's going to be. Eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither entered in the heart of man what God has prepared. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Yeah, absolutely. All right. 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Right here. This is talking about they're dealing with a man that was taken in adultery. Right here. Paul is saying here, this is verse 6. Well, let's start with 5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now let me say something to you. With the culture that we live in today, where it's like anything goes, and I'm talking sexual preferences and unrestrained, the doctrine, the leaven of the kingdom, is going to come in and bring the chastity back, the purity back, until this culture. This culture, it's a destructive culture, Satan's culture. They worship their God through sex perversion. See, we got a big job ahead of us, don't we? And it's not with condemnation. See, the old leaven is going to have to be replaced with the new leaven, the leaven of the kingdom. And I'm telling you, it's a lot more powerful, because if a woman could put a little bit in 3 measures of meal, it would leaven the whole lump. We need to quit saying, oh, the evil's so strong. No, it isn't. God's power is stronger. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And don't ever forget that. All right, right here, the word leaven is ferment, or to boil up. We need the kingdom of God to boil up in the midst of all this evil and wickedness. That's what it'll do. When God's children start getting busy and doing what they're supposed to do, if it's one at a time, that's the way it'll be. All right, Galatians 5:9. Right here, verse 7, it says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So how did we get in this situation? We departed from the truth as a society of God's word. Yeah. All right. All right, this morning I want to focus on the leaven of the kingdom. We already see all around us the leaven of the kingdom of darkness. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in your face. We are to occupy by taking the leaven of the kingdom of God and take out the old leaven. It's that boiling up. It's going to just explode. Kind of Tommy, what's his name? His vision. This people. Huh? Hicks. Yeah, Tommy Hicks and his vision. Just like liquid light. It was like just an explosion of the gospel. We've heard that. We've been hearing this all of our Christian life. All right. That is rising up. We're here to raise up the kingdom of God and cast down what Satan has illegally erected here. Instead of us being subject to his seven mountains of culture, we will take those seven mountains of culture. This is Revelation 17. This is the beast system that we live under and have lived under for a long time. Okay. And there came, verse 1, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I know William Brennan saw a woman in the White House and she was clothed in purple. Well, purple is the elite deep state, that's their color. And everybody took that to mean it was some woman, you know, but it wasn't. It's the system in D.C., the three city states. That's what he was seeing. See, hey, we can't even give the right interpretation to a word from God. I'm just going, it's gotten so secular. It just makes me mad. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is a system. Do you see that? And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. All that stuff they stole from us. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life and the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, it's kind of like the Khazars, the Khazar mafia, the Phoenicians. They are the Nazis. This is that communistic system. And it didn't just come into play with Hitler, it's been around. And there in here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. All right. I'll just go ahead and read this right quick. This is from the Truth and Liberty Coalition, Spheres of Social Influence, or Societal Influence, a seven mountain mandate. The kingdom of God is enormous, far bigger than your family or local church. To deliver the truth of God's kingdom and unite the body of Christ with the world at large, we believe we have the mandate to bring godly change to our nation and in truth the world through the seven spheres or mountains of societal influence. The Seven Mountain Mandate is a powerful transformative campaign intended to bring about this social information. These seven fields of society must be reached: religion and faith. In the West, Christianity is under attack and the concept of God being rejected more than ever. We believe that the church must revive its previously strong influence on Western society, expanding the kingdom of God by spreading knowledge of the love and gospel of Jesus Christ The church is tasked with expanding his message through ministerial efforts in our nation and across the world. Isn't that what he said? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, family. The family is the centerpiece of any functioning society. Unfortunately, families in the U.S. have been under attack and suffered from dysfunction for decades. Divorce, fatherlessness, abuse, and homosexual marriage are among the primary culprits. We believe God wants to bring healing to marriages and relationships, ending this chaos and providing a solid moral foundation for our children. All right, education. Oh, wow. Since this was written, all this transgender stuff has happened, critical race theory taught, all this mess. Once our education system unapologetically incorporated biblical principles and prayer into students' daily routines, now our children are being indoctrinated with liberal ideologies, atheistic teaching, and postmodern principles in our public schools and even in Christian institutions. We seek to restore biblical truth and godly morality into our country's failing educational system. We've got a big job ahead of us, don't we? Government and law, oh dear God. A nation's moral condition is often reflected in its political leaders, yeah? Unfortunately, we have seen a steady increase in political corruption as well as a steady erosion of the link between our government and legal system and the Christian values upon which our country was founded. Our goal is to educate and equip citizens so they can effectively influence government at all levels with truth and righteousness. What they really don't understand here, and this was written way before all this stuff started happening, that really our whole nation was formed on Freemason. It didn't have a Christian foundation. Media, news, and commentary. The news, or media, news, and commentary mountain includes sources such as TV, you know, television, radio, newspapers, fake news, online news, and of course, the hugely influential social media sites and blogs on the internet. To bring transformation to this enormous mountain, we shall speak the truth from a biblical perspective to combat the sea of disinformation spread by liberal elite outlets and other mainstream media sources. This is before fake news was even coined. Arts and entertainment. Oh God, here we go again. Music, movies, television, social media wield enormous influence on our youth. And the dark forces of sex, drugs, alcohol, and immorality that permeates these fields are spreading dangerous messages to our children. The body of Christ is in desperate need of righteous people who take their talents into these fields and are unafraid of using their platform to further his greater purposes. Business and economics. The free market system is a God-given gift, enabling us to build wealth through enterprise, creativity, and effort. We believe in limiting the role of government in our nation's business practices and allowing the free markets to run their course. We also espouse prosperity with a purpose, calling upon those who manage businesses to lead with integrity, honesty, and by biblical principles. Do you know that God, in his body of Christ, has people to go into all seven mountains to infiltrate? He's not telling you to do all seven. He's telling you to do the one he's told you to do. All right. All right. Let's knock the care out of here. Get the care out of here. All right, let's keep going here. People can deny it all they want and say that they're not in the end times because the Antichrist has not shown up yet. They were asleep. He is alive and well. He has taken over the entire world, and this is where we are taking it back. They pretty well accomplished leveling pretty well everything, right? Unfortunately. Okay. It's great that we have a great CIC, Donald John Trump, White Hat Alliance worldwide. They're here to do the cleanup, but we have to go in behind them. See, we're the ones that got to come in. What they're doing is they're wiping the slate clean. It's a cleanup operation. So then what happens? Then you've got to infiltrate with the right, like the seven mountain mandate that I told you, different people to go in. All right. How did Jesus take the gospel of the kingdom? First, he took it into the synagogue, and then he took it into the marketplace. He was in tune, but the Holy Spirit did as he was directed. He called out the leaven of the religious leaders, and he presented the leaven of the kingdom of God. He taught repentance. All right, Matthew. This is Matthew 4:17. Let's just start with 16 there. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent means right here, think differently. It's not, oh, I'm a sorry sinner. No, it's think differently. It's the changing of a mindset. And that's what's wrong in our culture. The deep state mindset, all their ways, has infiltrated practically all seven mountain mandates. What does the church do? They're leaven. It won't take a lot, but it will leaven the whole lump if we are consistent and we obey the Holy Spirit and do what He tells us to do. It also means to reconsider. Well, maybe I was wrong about that. Maybe a man can have periods or a baby. I'm telling you, people believe anything. Right. All right, Jesus began to infiltrate. He was light in a dark place. Why? They were under severe bondage. The Romans were very cruel. Probably worse so than we are. In fact, they say we really are the continuation of the Roman Empire. Anyway, he brought light into darkness, and it was refreshing to the people because it was for them, not against them. All right? I call KPJ Fox the lighthouse of the Permian Basin. The world has become unsavory. It needs salt. All right. Salt is a preservative. They used to use salt when there wasn't any refrigeration. You'd pack your meat in salt. It preserves. Salt and light. We are salt and we are light. All right. Okay. Matthew 5. Jesus said this, ye are the salt of the earth. See, it's us that's going to keep this world from completely succumbing to being totally spoiled by the evil one. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus, he did. He shined like a bright light. When you were in his presence, nobody forgot it. Neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What am I saying this morning to you? Quit being so devil-minded. Get your mind off of what he's doing or not doing and get it focused on you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're what someone's looking for to get them out of the darkness that they're in. You may not win anybody to the Lord, but you may give a word to them that gets them on a journey that gets them to where they need to go. We need to be occupied with that and not so much of what's happening to us. All right. Salt here means prudence. Prudence. You don't see a lot of prudence anymore. Everything's just out of control. All right. Light here means to shine, to make manifest or luminous. People are like, there's something different about them. They ain't just them old plain old church folk, ain't got power to blow the fuzz off a peanut. Can't even get their own prayers answered. How in the world would I ask them to pray for me? No, this is people, they prayed for me and I got healed. A city on a hill for all to see. Paul said this on Mars Hill. This is Acts chapter 17. This will be my last scripture. Just think, he walks into this place and everywhere there's just nothing but idols. Make you want to turn around and run, wouldn't it? Well, the devil might tag me. I better not go today. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God." What was he doing? He was looking for a hook, wasn't he? He wasn't running. The one that got his brains beat out, he wasn't running. He was looking for a way of infiltration. "I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." You're not in these religious institutions you got going on around here, these big old cathedrals you spent billions of dollars on. "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That they should seek the Lord, if happy they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." In other words, change your mind about it. This is all silliness. Time to change your mind. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." He didn't win everybody that day, but a few latched on, think, this is what I've been looking for. This is that light that I've been needing. That's all God's requiring of us. All right. This is God's last appeal to get anyone and everyone to change their mind for the better. That is what the Great Commission is all about, and we have a vital part in that. The more that we'll turn to the Lord, the more of the old leaven is cast out. We must stay aware everywhere we go for an opportunity to present the gospel of the kingdom, not forced or coerced, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right? So that's our focus. The Lord's saying, He's saying, Okay? Make it to where the devil's not comfortable in your domain anymore. See, when you start praising and you start raising, he leaves. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. He don't like praising. He sure don't like you speaking in tongues. Make it uncomfortable for him for a change. Keep him uncomfortable. All right.